been drafted, not right.
It's the order of the disciplic succession.
Of course, we celebrated Gaur Purnim yesterday, but the rest of the world observes it today. So we do not want to be exclusivistic, so we just have to celebrate twice. And as everyone could see, the beautiful full moon is rising in the sky tonight. And actually, when Lord Chaitanya appeared, all of nature joined together with all of mankind and all of the gods to offer respect to the beautiful, spotless, and golden moon which was rising over the eastern hills, which was so beautiful that this moon we see in the sky was embarrassed and ashamed to show his face in front of the spotless full moon of comparison, Sri Gaurasundara. And therefore he excused himself under the pretense of an eclipse, which was very convenient arrangement, because at that time the residents of the holy land of Sri Dham Navadvipa were very fallen, and they would refuse to chant the holy name except at such occasions as a lunar eclipse. So when the whole world was resounding with the sound of the holy name reaching its climax, Sri Gaurasundara very appropriately made his appearance to answer the call of the devotees who were chanting the holy Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Which literally means, O merciful internal energy of the Lord, please engage me in the Lord's service. So, since there is no one so merciful as Sri Gaurasundara, he came to answer the plea of his wayward children and give them devotional service in its most sublime and simple form of chanting his holy name. So, Lord Chaitanya is known as the Chana Avatar, the most secret and concealed of all incarnations. And this is an offering unto him on this most glorious day of his advent. Imagine that you are being shown the childhood home of someone you love, the person more dear, more beautiful, more beloved to you than any other person you know. Imagine that the beloved's most dear friend is showing you the beloved's home. When you first arrive, all you see is land, trees, grass, buildings, fences, a swing set, paths, all quite ordinary, except that you wait with anticipation to be told by your guide of all that your beloved did there. And as that person tells you how the beloved worked in the fields to the left, ran down the path to the woods, loved sitting under the tree by the house, ran from a dangerous bull in the barn, chatted happily with mother in the kitchen, liked sitting in the blue chair in the front room, was born in the room overlooking the sun porch. The whole place that looked ordinary at first sight becomes unique and beautiful and as dear as your beloved. Now, whenever you see that place, you see what no one else can see, unless you become the guide and someone else has learned to love your dearmost person too. Similarly, in a public gathering where one is a stranger, one may see a person looking out expectantly, waiting for a beloved person to arrive. Looking over the crowd yourself, you see no one out of the ordinary, although there are many interesting, kind, and beautiful faces and figures there. Suddenly, you see the expectant person's face light up, smiling with tears of joy streaming down his face. Try as you might, when you look in the direction the person's running in, looking in, you cannot see what he sees because your eyes are not informed by the love in that person's heart. The beloved may even have come in disguise so that only his lover can recognize him. Even when the lovers embrace, they look ordinary. Unless the lover told you about his beloved, you would never be able to see how his lover is different from everyone else's, how he is identifiable to his beloved. And unless you showed someone genuine, loving interest in the person's beloved, they would be reluctant to tell you all about their dearmost person, because you might not understand and might even laugh at or hurt the beloved. So it is with the lovers of God who live on this earth in a different world than people who don't know God or feel they have no relationship to Godhead. The lovers of God are the expectant watchers in the crowd of population on earth at any moment in time. They look for him. They look for his representatives, relatives, friends, and God himself with the same happy, nervous, hopeful, trusting yearning that people wait for beloved persons in earthly relationships. The devotees of God see certain places on earth differently, just as the lover sees the birthplace of the beloved as full of events and beauty that the stranger passing by the way is completely blind to. Such places are the places where particular friends, lovers, or, one may say, saints, or even God himself, have sported in innumerable pastimes on earth. These places are known to the devotees of God because of their love for him, which has revealed to them what is special about the places, or because, in sympathy with another's love for him, one of his friends or representatives has shared his own intimate knowledge of the Lord's appearance on an otherwise ordinary tract of land. This is one such sharing of love for the beautiful personality of all love, who is God himself. Thus we humbly ask, if it be the desire of your heart, look with us through the eyes of spiritual devotion at the otherwise ordinary course of events taking place on earth 500 years ago. Very dear to her Creator, earth floats and rotates in eternal communion with the Lord. And when the Lord agrees to come to help her sustain her inhabitants and to remind them of their own communion with him, she blossoms with an outpouring of gratitude and joy. So it is that 500 years ago, in the place we know as Bengal, on the continent of India, the earth flowered with delicate, transformed beauty. The eyes of persons whose emaciated hearts have been smothered by the deceiving activities of selfish interest, anger, and lust could not then and cannot now see the earth in her beautiful gown of anticipation of the Lord's descent. But for those persons whose hearts, though tired and weary, have not grown bitter, the earth took on and still wears her most exquisite dress. Actually, the place of the Lord's arrival is situated in the eternal splendor and is known as Sridham Navadvip, the city of nine islands in the spiritual form of a golden lotus. There, as far as the eye could see, the earth became as brilliant and colorful as a rainbow, shining with the subtle qualities of pure intelligence, faith, and goodwill. And the Lord's devotees, who are known here as Vaishnavas, in constant readiness to receive his mercy In return, his love became lustrous and light-hearted and spontaneously generous to all creatures. Born aloft on the high tide of perennial joy, which stems from the Lord's eternal promise to reciprocate with the hopes and desires of his devotees, the Vaishnavas were not conscious in their minds of what was happening, but simply trusted in their impulse of love. This ardent renewal of the life force of all beings took physical shape in the manifest forms of certain personalities. One of these was that saintly Vaishnav Acharya named Advaita, who we were discussing just yesterday. But I forgot what I was trying to say. The point being that we come to know the Lord through his devotees because the Lord agrees, although he is Swarat, independent and supreme, out of his love for his devotees and his promise to reciprocate with the living entities in the same way that they love him, he actually comes under the control of his devotees. So it was Advaita who called the Lord and woke him from his yoga nidra, his sleep in the ocean of milk, and brought him down upon this very earth to distribute pure love of God. And it was Advaita who requested the Lord to give up his concealed identity and assist the devotees in spreading this Sri Harinam Sankirtan movement for the benefit of all the fallen conditioned souls. And when his mission of delivering all the fallen souls had been achieved, it was Sri Advaita who told the Lord, okay, your mission is fulfilled as far as all the external purposes are concerned. Now you can realize your own purpose for coming. So that message came by way of Jagadananda in the form of a sonnet written in equivocal language in such a way that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand, but no one else could. Jagadananda actually thought it was quite a funny message that he was taking from Nadia to Jagannath Puri. But then when he related it to the Lord, he saw the most unusual response. The sonnet stated that, tell Lord Chaitanya that all the residents of Nadia have become madmen just like him. Those who have become mad with ecstatic love for Krishna are no longer interested in this material world. And in the marketplace, rice is no longer in demand. Tell Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Advaita, who has also become mad, just like him, has spoken these words. And then, hearing this message from Advaita, his great devotee, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just smiled mildly and he said, that is his order. And the devotees were very perplexed. What does this mean? And Sri Swarup Damodar, although he perfectly knew the meaning, just to get the point across to others, through the explanation given by the Lord himself, he asked Lord Chaitanya, what does this mean? I cannot understand it. And Lord Chaitanya explained that Advaita Acharya is a great worshipper of the Lord. He invites the Lord to come down. And being very expert at the regulative principles described in the Vedic scriptures, he worships the Lord so nicely for some time. And then, at a certain point, he tells the Lord to leave and go elsewhere. I cannot understand what is in the mind of Advaita Acharya. He is very expert at writing sonnets, which even I cannot understand. And then the devotee saw how at that very instant the Lord's mood markedly changed. His feelings of ecstasy, his feelings of separation in the mood of Sri Radha doubled, and from that point increased more and more, moment by moment, until all his activities, both day and night, became such wild, insane performances that were never manifest by any avatar previously or since, and have never been described in any scripture. Suddenly, in the Lord's mind awoke the scene of Akrura taking Krishna away from Vrindavan. And you can just imagine the transcendental madness that ensued. So even in this material world, we see some dim reflection of love, which is more appropriately called lust, in the reflected and perverted, distorted form. But we see, even in this lowest, basest, grossest reflection of the reality, the madness that ensues due to strong attachment of what one thinks is love. And when his heart's desire is then frustrated, he becomes just so mad and insane that there's no telling what such persons will do. So, if there is so much madness and intense emotion in the mere reflection, who can imagine the intense emotional ecstasy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is himself revealing the highest stage of devotional ecstasy? So, of course, at that time, the devotees were always afraid that the Lord would leave. If he became too ecstatic, thinking of meeting Krishna, they were afraid he would just go to Krishna. If he became too much distressed at thoughts of by the feelings of separation from Krishna, they thought he would just leave this world. So Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai would sing songs of meeting or of separation just to counterbalance the Lord's extreme moods of intense devotional ecstasy, to try to keep him in some state of some semblance of sanity. But even though they would lock him in the Gambira with three strongly bolted and locked doors, he would somehow escape. Even though the doors stayed locked, the Lord would somehow escape. And they would find him sometimes at the Simadwara, sometimes in a cow shed, his body going through such extreme transformations due to the intense emotions of his heart. So, in this way, Lord Chaitanya realized his own internal motives for coming to this world. And then, in his ecstasy of love for Krishna, one day he just ran. You see the jewel of the twice born. In his madness of feeling separation from Krishna, ran into the temple of Tota Gopinath to meet Krishna, and he closed the doors behind him. And he never came out again. So actually, the Lord's Leela is eternal. It is ever increasing and never, ever ending. But like a traveling drama, sometimes the curtain is open, and sometimes it is closed. Sometimes it is visible to our eyes, and sometimes it is not. But the fact is that the Lord's mercy is always available, as well as his associates, who are all living eternally, spiritually, and are ready and eager to come and give their assistance and their association whenever we really want it, sincerely and more than anything else. So, Vrindavan Das Thakur wrote one verse which describes that those who are fortunate can see the pastimes of the Lord taking place even today. How the Sankirtan movement, which is the Lord's own mission, is still going on and expanding and increasing. This cannot happen except by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, the Lord's mercy comes like endless waves in the ocean, the unlimited ocean of devotion, which is so grave and deep that no one can fathom its depths or its limits or its vastness. But when Lord Chaitanya comes, that's not like an ordinary wave. That is like a tidal wave which inundates the whole world with the nectar of devotion. So when Lord Chaitanya left this planet, it was such a shock to the earth, who is also his devotee. And all those Sankirtan parties which had been traversing across her surface, of course, most of the devotees being unable to bear the pain of separation from their ultimate object of devotion and love, they returned with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu back to Golok from where they had come. And some were, they remained behind for some purpose, but just like when Narottam saw Ram Das Abhiram, he was living in a state like suspended animation, his body revealing no external symptoms of life. But somehow or other, his soul remained within his body because he had some mission yet to be fulfilled. But even in the shock of the departure of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his associates back to the realm of their eternal lila, the Lord never forgets it. The living entities. Therefore, he's always sending his associates and his representatives to give his mercy, because that's how it comes, through the devotees. So, after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya, the second generation of devotees was led by Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivasacharya and Duki Krishnadas, who was later known as Shyamananda Goswami, who were enjoying pastimes in Vrindavan under the guidance and instruction of Sri Jiva Goswami. And in their transcendental experiences, they were entering right into Krishna Lila and enjoying the associate. Not enjoying, relishing the association of Krishna and his intimate devotees in Vraja. But then, of course, at a certain stage, the spiritual master tests his disciples. So Jiva Goswami and the other Goswamis told him that now that you're so fully trained and realized in the Bhagavat philosophy, you must distribute this mercy and take all the books of the Goswamis to Bengal, where the devotees are not knowing Lord Chaitanya's later lila, but are very eager and intensely hankering for this nectar. In this way, you continue and expand the lila and precepts of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they left that holy dham, because even though the most important place is the place of the Lord's advent, more important than Janmastan, where the Lord takes birth, is Karmastan, where his mission is being fulfilled. So these three great devotees went back to their Prabhudatta Deshas to preach. And they split up. But since devotees are always hankering for devotee association, thinking that that's where the Lord is found, in the heart of his devotee, Narottam, who had returned to Kayseri, where he was destined by providence to become the king because he was the son of the king, but he left and became a devotee, became a sannyasi. His brother Santosh Rai reigned over that kingdom of Kayseri. And being a very saintly king, a Rajarshi, he built a great temple just to, according to the desire of Narottam Das Thakur, his brother or cousin. And Narottam had a desire to install deities in that temple and observe a grand Gaur Purnim festival in honor of this most holy eve of the advent of our Lord, which is praised by all pure devotees who proclaim the worship of this very day to have the power to kindle ecstatic love for Krishna. So he went to see Srinivasacharya, who was also coming to see him, and he expressed his desire to Srinivasacharya, "I want to have this grand Gaur Purnim festival and have all the devotees from all the world come and join in. But how to do it? They're scattered all over Bharat Varsha, and they're feeling such intense separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that they can hardly live. What to speak of traveling thousands of miles, practically, to come to this festival? How will we do it?" And Srinivasacharya told Narottam, "Well, if it's your desire, then it must be Lord Chaitanya's desire. And then certainly it'll happen." And then Lord Chaitanya appeared to him in a dream and said, "Yes, it is my desire. You send out messengers immediately to all the kings and zamindars and poets and pandits and devotees and singers and musicians. And bring them all here for this Gaur Purnim festival." So they sent out messengers in all directions, inviting everyone, and Narottam sent his own personal invitations to the great associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who were still living on the planet. He sent his messengers to Orissa, to Shyamananda Goswami, to Puri, to the rest of the associates who were living there, and they began walking to Kayseri and East Bengal, and they came up through Srikanda and picked up in Kordaha and picked up Janava Devi. Associates, Vrindavan Das Thakur and Minikatan Ramdas and whatever devotees of Lord Nityananda were still left on the planet. And then they came up to Navadvip and picked up Ishan Thakur, that aged servant of Mother Sachi, and the brothers of Srivas Pandit, who had already left. And then they went to Shantipur and picked up Achyutananda, the son of Advaita, and his brothers. And they began this big padayatra with thousands of devotees traversing the countryside, purifying the whole country, the whole world, with the sound of the chanting of the holy name. And when the villagers along the way heard that this great padayatra is coming, all these great associates of Lord Chaitanya have all combined together and are coming. It was such an honor. They would clean the streets. They would decorate the whole towns and villages. They would stand there to meet and to greet these great associates of the Lord and wash their feet and offer them garlands and their prayers and their obeisances and their worship as they pass through on their way to Kayseri Gram, And when they arrived there, Santosh Rai, the king, he told Narottam that whatever you want, I'll open the whole treasury, it's all yours for this Gaurapranim festival. And he arranged a big boat which took all these devotees across the river, and then bullock carts and palanquins to carry them to their private residences. And then they worshipped. The devotees were greeted by the king himself, who worshipped their lotus feet. And then, on the night before the great festival was to occur, they began by worshipping the devotees, headed by Janava Devi, Janava Ishwari, the internal potency of Lord Nityananda. And then they began the kirtan, the Mangalacharna prayers, which went deep into the night. And the next morning, very early, they began the Sankirtan. And then they had the Abhishek for the deities in a big pavilion, which had mountains of silver pots filled with milk and yogurt and ghee and all kinds of boga to offer the deities. And the whole city was decorated with mango leaves and banana trees and water pots. And in that great Abhishek, which was conducted by Srinivasacharya under the direction of Janava Ishwari, Lord Krishna, from the transcendental form of the deity, emanated that very sweet fragrance of his own personal form, which just drives the devotees mad with ecstatic love. And when the Abhishek was concluded, they offered the deities new clothes and garlands and a huge feast. And then, by the direction of Janava Devi, Narottam began the kirtan. And he began by glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the combined form of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And then he moved on into the Hare Krishna kirtan. And in that kirtan, which seemed to last for a day of Brahma, the devotees were feeling such intense separation from their eternal Lord and Master, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that they were just falling on the ground and crying and just holding each other up, trying to continue, which is, of course, the separation cannot be compared to any kind of worldly misery. It is not a negation of the bliss of spiritual life. It is just a different form of it, a more intense form of it, a very deep expression of love and appreciation for the Lord. And when that feeling of separation became so intense that it seemed like all those devotees there were also going to give up their lives, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is so merciful to his devotees, appeared right there in that kirtan with Nityananda, with Advaita Gadadhar Srivas, Purandar Mishra, Swarup Damodar, Ramananda Rai, all his associates who had already left with him, returned and just jumped into the kirtan, and they were embracing their associates. Chaitananda was dancing with Advaita, and Nityananda was embracing his associates. And the kirtan just went completely mad with ecstasy. And the devotees had all their desires fulfilled until the point when Lord Chaitanya and all his associates whose pastimes were already elsewhere once again disappeared. And the devotees were just thrown into the abyss of separation. The separation they felt before was nothing like what they felt now. But in that devastating experience, Janavadevi, who was the spiritual master at that time, following in the footsteps of her divine husband, Lord Nityananda, told them, "No, it's by the Lord's mercy that he has reappeared to you. And it's also his mercy that he has disappeared, just to increase your hankering for him." And, of course, this pastime was not seen only by the devotees, but even countless men and women outside who were standing on each other's shoulders, they were all able to see this. And the tears shed by the devotees was like an ocean descended from Golok, which inundated everyone in that spiritual ecstasy. And then Janava told the devotees, "No, you just continue the kirtan, because the Lord has given his promise that he is forever and always, everywhere, present, wherever there is pure chanting of his holy name." So in that way they continued the kirtan, and all through the night they sang songs of this glorious and merciful appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and before they knew it was time for Mangalarti. So they had Mangalarti, and then they took their baths afterwards. And the next day, Janavadevi, who was such an expert cook, began cooking, and all the devotees under her direction prepared thousands of different varieties of foodstuffs to offer the deity. And after the artik and offering was performed, they distributed prasadam inside the temple to all the devotees. The servers were those great acharyas, Narottam Thakur and Srinivas Acharya and Shyamananda Goswami. When they had served all the devotees themselves, they took their prasad, and then Janavadevi took last. And outside the temple, that great devotee king, Raj Santosh Rai, served prasadam to all his thousands of subjects. And when they were all satisfied, at last he took his prasadam. And then the next day, all the devotees departed, and the king offered them gifts with tears in his eyes. And they offered their blessings, and they all returned to their respective homes. So, in this way, the Lord has given his direction how to worship this most glorious and most essential day of his advent, which is such a rare and inconceivable event. It is not something that takes place every Kali Yuga, because Sri Krishna comes once in a day of Brahma. That's 8,600,000,000 years. Krishna comes once. And in that same period, Lord Chaitanya might come to display his lila for the benefit of all the fallen conditioned souls. So we cannot conceive of our unlimited great fortune to be present on this planet just so shortly after his advent, when his mission is still going on and the very places of his pastimes are still visible. So the fact is that the devotees those pure devotees who have no desire other than to serve their Lord have his association through the internal spiritual process of devotional service, which he has given in such a sublime and simple form in this age, simply by chanting his holy name. And whenever we chant the holy names of the Lord, we feel the joy which comes from his association, because he is none different from his holy name. Therefore, naturally, when the devotees chant the holy name purely, they feel like dancing, they feel like singing, they feel like laughing. Because even though we may not be so fortunate to see the Lord's pastimes taking place even today, at least we can feel his presence in the Sankirtan movement, which is our expression of love for him. Because by his mercy, we can easily obtain that topmost rare and precious gift which Brahma, Shiva, all the great sages and rishis and devas are eternally hankering after but very rarely achieve, is so readily and freely available in this age by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, if we be so fortunate to get a slight glimpse into what is our great fortune, and if we have some appreciation and desire to worship the Lord in the proper manner, then we are naturally going to want to give the same gift of love of God to others. And that is Sankirtan. Krishna Varam Tusa Krishnam Sangopanga Shaparsharam Yagyar Sankirtana Prayar Yajanti Hi Sumedasaha. In this age, the Lord has come, but he's now non-blackish. He has now assumed a golden form due to the great upsurge in the compassionate feelings of Srimati Radharani. The Lord comes in this age not with his usual armies and weapons, but his greatest weapon in this age is his beauty. And his armies are his associates, his commanders and leaders in the Sankirtan movement by which his mercy is distributed throughout the whole creation. So we should not worship the Lord with some personal motivation, desiring anything in return, because that is not pure love, that is business. If we actually want to please the Lord, then we will offer him what he wants. And what is his intense desire? Prithivityachiyata nagaradigram sarvata pachara habimodanam. In as many towns and villages there are on the surface of this earth, the glories of my holy name shall be sung. So that intense desire and prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not carried out by himself, because the Lord, who is the actual doer of everything, the cause of all causes and all that be, finds greater pleasure in giving the credit and the glory to his devotee. So, Srila Prabhupada took up that mission with such a pure and sincere desire that there is no doubt that he was fully empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to do what the Lord himself did not do. Lord Chaitanya preached within Bharatvarsha, although the loud sound of his Sankirtan liberated the entire universe. But that prediction given by Bhakti Devi to Narada Muni, idam stanam prityaja, that In the future, I will leave Bharat Varsha and travel abroad. So Bhakti Devi, the goddess of devotion, left Bharat Varsha and traveled to all the corners of the earth in the form of the Bhakti Shastras, which were compiled and translated and distributed by the causeless and infinite mercy of the Lord's dearest servitor, our eternal spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. So if we can just assist him in some way in his glorious mission, then that will be the proper worship of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by serving the Lord in the way recommended as being servant to the servant to the servant. And then we may also be so blessed to realize the truth in the words of Vrindavan Das Thakur. Adyapi hoi lila kore. He's agreed. Yes, Prabhupada. And then he said, did you see how beautiful they were? Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda dancing in the kirtan. So Prabhupada was seeing the Lord, who was empowering him in his mission. But even if we are not so fortunate to see Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda present in their kirtan, which they actually are, even if we're not so fortunate, we can at least feel their presence. We can at least feel the inspiration. And we should express our gratitude by taking this mercy that has been delivered to us, this inconceivable, unlimited, and causeless mercy. If there's any way to describe it, it would not be called causeless. So if we have any glimpse of appreciation for what the Lord has given us, then we should not be misers and simply try to relish this mercy and bliss ourselves, but we should assist the Lord in his mission by delivering the same mercy far and wide, so that we can also please him by following the instructions that he gave to everyone in his manifest lila. Yadideka tarikaha Krishna Upadesh, Amara Gai Guru Hanadaradesh. You just try to become Vaishnava, try to become Guru, preach Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita to whoever you meet, and in this way liberate the land. And if you take up this mission, you will have my association again, or rather, you will never lose my association. So it is our humble request that everyone take up this mission very enthusiastically, because that will please the Lord more than anything on this most holy eve of his advent into this world, just to save us. So are there any questions or comments?
How long did that festival take place?
That was the second generation of devotees, probably about 30, 40 years after Lord Chaitanya's disappearance. Somewhere around there.
How was it there are so many devotees to the left?
They were waiting to partake in this festival. I mean, it was nothing like as many devotees as there were during his lila. But they stayed behind to give inspiration to the second generation of devotees, just to continue this mission. Yes. Because the Lord mercifully comes in the form of his holy name as transcendental sound, because that sound, that transcendental sound, is unique. It travels all the way from the spiritual world. We cannot see to the spiritual world, but we can hear that transcendental vibration coming from there. And that vibration is not heard by the mechanical ears. That vibration we know as transcendental because it penetrates the coverings of the heart and awakens the sleeping soul to his eternal enlightened position as servant of the servant of the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in that form, as transcendental sound, the Lord is most least likely grossly misunderstood. So that is the form which is most accessible to all living entities in this age. Because what does seeing the Lord mean? It means knowing him. And knowing him means serving him. Those who do not serve the Lord are not seeing him, although he may be standing right before their eyes. But those who are serving him purely are actually knowing him. And they will be blessed with the transcendental vision that even if he is not physically present before their eyes, they will see his hand in every activity of their life. Because when one embarks on the quest for the Absolute, he is guided by the Absolute Truth himself, who is a person. That is the wonderful life of a devotee. If we simply surrender to Krishna, then he takes charge of our lives and he arranges everything perfectly just for our spiritual benefit. That's why Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion, just surrender unto me. I will protect you from everything. Do not fear, do not hesitate, do not worry. Simply engage in pure devotional service with no other conditions or aspirations.
How is it that we're more fortunate than the demigods in this case of devotional service?
Because demigods are those living entities who are very materially qualified. But we are most materially bereft. So we have nothing to look forward to except the mercy of the Lord, which is actually all there is to look forward to. One who thinks himself to be the controller will have trouble acknowledging the real controller. But those as ourselves who are so unfortunate and so unable to do anything right, do not want to take all glory and all credit for ourselves. So we can very easily acknowledge all glory to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Thank you very much.
Shri Maharaj ki
jai.